Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe. On Sunday, February 22nd, 2015, you're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe says it will meet this week to discuss the way forward towards the establishment of an independent gender commission bill.
On Tuesday, the Women's Coalition National Coordinating Committee, through its membership, is going to have a dialogue to discuss and review the status quo of the gender commission bill, so that a civic society, there will be a consensus to then say, how do we progress to engage the relevant government structures.
A young Zimbabwean entrepreneur, Tafadzwa Makura, will showcase his talent at Harvard University College in Boston, Massachusetts this week, where he will be participating in a competition for new startups. Makura will showcase his water pump invention that is expected to help alleviate clean water problems in Africa.
It's for an African business conference at the Harvard Business School. It's hosted by the Africa Business Club. We're going to be participating in the new venture competition.
And the Zimbabwe Farmers Union says some parts of the country are not likely to get a good harvest this year due to the drought. The union is calling on the government to invest in irrigation projects that will assist farmers in future.
Reports coming from the southern parts of the country, there we actually understand now that very little is going to be redeemed even if the rains were to come again. These are the provinces, Mashingo, Matabeleland South, Matabeleland North, and parts of Midland.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe says it will meet in Harare on Tuesday with its membership to discuss the way forward towards the establishment of an independent gender commission bill. Newly appointed National Coordinator Sally Dura tells us more.
On Tuesday, the Women's Coalition National Coordinating Committee, through its membership, is going to have a dialogue to discuss and review the status quo of the gender commission bill, so that a civic society, there will be a consensus to then say, how do we progress to engage the relevant government structures, including parliament, so that at the end of the day, we'll be able to achieve an independent commission as gender commission.
What are some of the issues that you will be discussing when you meet on Tuesday that you'd like to see redressed?
Last week, we made submissions to the thematic committee on the gender commission bill, and this is part of a post-mortem meeting process where a civic society, we are going to reflect and update each other on the status quo of the gender commission bill, then develop strategies for lobbying and advocacy, as well as engaging members of the public and the parliament and other relevant government structures, so that at the end of the day, we are secured of having an independent gender commission bill.
Where are you going to be having this consultative meeting?
It's going to be held in Harare or as a lunch-on meeting at Kwamambo Conference Center, where we usually converge as Women's Coalition membership.
And who is invited to this meeting?
The Women's Coalition fully paid-up members are the ones who will be there. So this consists of individual members who are women's rights activists and non-governmental organizations that advocate for women's rights and gender equality.
That was Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe National Coordinator Sally Dura in Harare. A young Zimbabwean entrepreneur, Tafadzwa Makura, will showcase his talent at Harvard University College in Boston, Massachusetts this week, where he will be participating in a competition for new startups. Makura will showcase his water pump invention that is expected to help alleviate the provision of water, clean water in Africa. Makura tells us more.
I'm going to be in the United States from the 27th of February to the 1st of March. And it's for an African business conference at the Harvard Business School. It's hosted by the Africa Business Club. We're going to be participating in the new venture competition.
When you say you will be participating in the new venture competition, tell us a little bit more about that.
The new venture competition is a competition that's hosted by the African Business Club at Harvard Business School. And they bring together startups, early-stage startups from Zimbabwe and other African countries to pitch in front of a panel of judges. And whichever company wins the competition will win an investment of $10,000.
What is your startup all about?
Our startup is Imagi. Imagi is a startup that we started in November, and we are creating an autonomous water testing device about water purification. We realize that this is a big problem in Africa, and it's a problem that needs to be solved. So we have designed a device that can be connected to boreholes, and what this device does is it tests water quality in real time, and if a contamination is detected, it will shut off water supply, notify the authorities, and send the GPS coordinates of that particular water source so that no further contamination happens.
And how big is the delegation that's coming from Zimbabwe?
The team that I'm a part of is a multinational team. So we have a team member from Netherlands. We have a team member from Kenya. So I am the only person for my team that's going to the US, but I understand that there are other people that are from Zimbabwe that are going to the same conference in different capacities. Some will be speakers.
How important is it for you as a startup business person to participate in such programs?
This is very important because Program of Earthmaker allows us to be able to expose some of the ideas that come from Africa to solve our own problems. It also presents a very important and interesting networking opportunity to meet other like-minded people from Africa and to perhaps form the relationships that will be the basis of future collaboration.
That is Tafadzwa Makura of Imagi, a new startup, speaking to us from Harare. The Zimbabwe Farmers Union says some parts of the country are not likely to get a good harvest due to the drought. Zimbabwe Farmers Union Director Paul Zakaria is calling on the government to invest in irrigation projects that will assist farmers in future. Zakaria speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
Reports coming from the southern parts of the country, there we actually understand now that very little is going to be redeemed even if the rains were to come today. These are provinces, Mashingo, Matabeleland South, Matabeleland North, and parts of Midlands, and also the southern parts of Manicaland. In the northern parts of the country, the northern region, we normally have good rains in those regions, and the ecological region up north is one which at least contains a bit of water. But with the current erratic rains that we are receiving, even those northern parts are also suffering.
In the event that the rains come in the next few days, or do you see these crops recovering?
Not so much in the south. In the south, I think we are already down and it is not possible for us to talk of any recovery. Maybe in the northern parts of the country and also in selected regions, you will find in the northern parts, maybe here and there, but not so much in the south. So it's another year that we really have to brace up for the West.
What advice can be given to farmers for them to avoid such problems, if any?
Generally, if the season is as normal as what we used to have in the past, it is always important that farmers get ready around about July. They have procured all their inputs and they have done all the land preparation such that around October, November, they are doing their planting, and if they catch the early rains, normally the crop stands throughout. But with the erratic rains that we have been receiving and the patterns in terms of distribution that we have seen during this current season, I don't think there is much that farmers can do. Maybe from a government point of view, looking at the issues probably related to climate change, government would really consider funding infrastructure, investing in infrastructure like our dams, weirs, and even the rehabilitation of some of the rivers, and even supporting farmers in terms of facilities like pumps and so on, so that most of our agriculture becomes more of irrigation related.
That was the Zimbabwe Farmers Union Director Paul Zakaria. Coming up at the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Earlier this week, nearly 200 young Zimbabweans converged in Harare at the Hypercube Hub to discuss entrepreneurship. I spoke to one of those who was in attendance. His name is Nigel Mugamu, and he is the founder of 263 Chat, a digital platform that encourages participation and dialogue. The 263 Chat, which is found on Twitter at 263 Chat, has nearly 48,000 followers. I first asked Nigel to tell me how he came up with this idea.
Thank you very much for the chance to talk to you. Look, the idea of 263 Chat was probably born, you know, many years ago, but I just didn't really realize what it was. I used to live in the UK, and I always struggled with getting access to information about what was going on at home. When I returned home in 2010, I realized why. You know, I realized that a lot of my friends here were probably too busy, or maybe I just didn't understand their life, or maybe I was condescending, you know. I would assume things or tell them, oh, this is how you fix this problem. And so I thought in 2012, I actually had the idea some 3 years ago now about, you know, what if we started talking on Twitter? It's then evolved from that. It took off more than I expected, to be honest. I didn't think I'd be talking to people like you, you know, today. But, you know, here we are. We've got a website. We work with some freelance journalists.
How have you been able to cultivate that? How important has 263 Chat been in driving the conversation in Zimbabwe?
Well, I mean, look, I'll give you a real example. Various media outlets will run with a particular story, and it's usually something political. You and I know that, you know, most of us are not politicians. We're ordinary people who are just trying to get on with our lives and, you know, pay our school fees on time and take care of our families. You'll find that a particular headline is what one of the publications is running with. When you look at the social media element, you'll then realize that maybe we don't think that issue that they've published is important. So therefore, we're not talking about it.
What are some of the topics that you've seen that are most important that people are tweeting at 263 Chat?
You'll find a lot of conversation around 263 Chat is around bread and butter issues, things that affect you and I and ordinary people on the street. We found through what we do at 263 Chat that, you know, by amplifying people's voices and getting them to talk and, you know, really exploring the issues, that in some way the enlightened journalist, shall we say, ends up saying, well, actually, this is a non-issue. This is really the issue.
What are some of the challenges that you might have faced, if any, as you build this brand of 263 Chat?
Well, look, the cost of internet, the cost of, I mean, we're an online media organization, and, you know, the cost of getting online for us was difficult in the beginning, was very costly. Luckily, we're now based in Hypercube, our tech hub. The challenge, and I always use my aunt, my tete, as an example of, you know, where we're really trying to go. You know, as you know, 67% of the population live in the rural areas, 52% of the population are women. You know, my aunt is a single woman. She's also a market gardener. I would like her to be involved in the conversations that we have every day. So, you know, when I think of where 263 Chat is going and what we're ultimately trying to achieve, would like to involve her in the daily conversations. Let's hear her voice. We're seeing more and more people, especially the youth and the population in the diaspora, which is a really important constituent of T6G, because we want to get those two components, those sitting here in Zimbabwe and those sitting out of Zimbabwe, to come together and talk and discuss and explore some of these issues that are taking place.
Thank you so much, Nigel.
No, thank you so much.
That was Nigel Mugamu, founder of 263 Chat. If you're interested in following us, you can find them on Twitter at 263 Chat. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. And now we have an editorial from the United States government.
Nigerians go to the polls next month in the largest democratic election in Africa this year, and perhaps one of the most important in the nation's history. With a militant insurgency roiling the northeastern part of the country and falling oil prices pinching the nation's economy, the closely contested election for president comes at a critical time. Perhaps as never before, it is important that Nigerians be united in the exercise and defense of their democracy during and after the voting. Given the stakes, it's absolutely critical that these elections be conducted peacefully and that they are credible, transparent, and accountable. That way, the people of Nigeria can have faith, and the world can have faith, in the government that flows from it. Nigeria's political leaders recognize this and have issued strong statements discouraging the kind of violence that marred the voting in 2011. Civil society has a role to play, too, and it is especially important that voters share these concerns and act accordingly, regardless of the election's outcome. Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission is working diligently to distribute voter cards and working with security services to ensure that Nigerians can vote safely. Nonetheless, the reign of terror Boko Haram is waging in Borno, Yobe, and other states may prevent thousands of Nigerians in the region from voting. The situation would be further complicated if elements unhappy with next month's election results take to the streets. The United States condemns Boko Haram's attacks, which have escalated in recent weeks. And we extend our deepest condolences to the thousands of families that have been affected. And we deeply regret the toll that this violence has taken on the Nigerian people. We will continue to support the efforts of Nigeria and its neighbors to fight against Boko Haram. Together with the international community, we are deeply committed to working with Nigerians going forward with the hopes that they will have an election that is free of violence and capable of instilling confidence in the future. The unity of Nigeria is essential not only for the security and prosperity of the nation, but to that of the region and indeed the world.
That there was the view from the United States government.
Oh, my Jesus is a Nigongare Pokonga Ko. Makoto Nigongare Pokonga Ko. Tell my father Nigongare Pokongi.
Now to recap on today's top stories. The Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe says it will meet this week to discuss the way forward towards the establishment of an independent gender commission bill. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, February 22nd, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night and a great week ahead.